You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
It's time to record the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
We do want to welcome our tech fan listeners, because I'm sticking this show in that feed, too. So if you're subscribed to both, you're going to get the same show. You can delete one of them. But this is going to... Yeah, that's right. You get a freebie if you're a tech fan listener. The reason I'm doing that is because we've taken some time off recently, mostly due for, you know, health reasons. I was sick.
Yeah, and before that, my daughter was sick.
Yep, so...
With the same thing, so even though we're 4,000 miles apart, go figure.
Well, we have a very strong internet connection, though.
that's what full fiber to the home will give you.
That's right. So we're doing episode 2 of season 2 of our superhero movie bracket. And for those listening on the Tech Fan feed, what that basically means is we name a couple movies and which one's better, and it moves up in the brackets. Last episode, we had four teams win, four movies win. The Avengers from 2012 is going to face against Men in Black. And then Superman 2 is going against Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. That is going to be on the next episode. We have got eight movies competing this week. But first, David, we've got some... there's been a lot of really cool geeky news out there. And I'm going to start at the top of our notes that Sony is talking about the continuation of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies.
Sony's talking about it because they saw, oh, look, we put our old Spider-Man in the last Spider-Man movie, or Marvel did, and it made lots of money. Let's just do that again.
Well, they're talking about doing it, but part of something else, that it's not going to be a standalone Spider-Man movie.
No, yeah, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to cameo it. The problem I have with this is that the appearance of Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire in the last Spider-Man movie was very much in service of the story in that movie.
Of course it was, because it was Marvel that did it.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you do it again, it then becomes... First of all, it cheapens the experience in that last one, because that was meant to be like very unusual circumstances. And secondly, the part of that was the big surprise factor. How are they going to do it? How's it going to work? Is it going to be good? Which it was. Yeah, but if you do that so that Andrew Garfield's in the next Spider-Man movie, then you
it's not that Spider-Man. It's a different... It's Sony's universe.
Yeah, I know. You know what? So he's going to show off in Venom. I mean,
who knows?
The point is, it becomes what it obviously is, which is a cheap way to, you know, kind of try and juice the movie
Sony's grasping for straws.
Exactly.
Other than the Spider-Verse movies, the animated ones, and to a very lesser degree Venom, they have done nothing but make bad movie after bad movie.
Yeah, and the problem is every time they do it with a gimmick, you worry that it's going to be another bad movie with a gimmick. And you know, I'm very struck by, as you know, I'm probably much bigger than you, bigger fan of the Arrowverse.
I was at the beginning. I think they did it too long. Yeah. It should have ended many years ago.
So by what they started doing was these crossover episodes every year, where they would mix people from the Arrowverse together into a single combined set. Yeah. But the problem is by the end of it, it became... Oh, so what? It became so easy for people from different dimensions to cross over into each other's stories. It completely cheapened the whole thing. You knew it was coming. I would imagine to many people, it was who were casual watchers of the show rather than religious watchers of all those shows, it was very, very confusing. And by the end of it, they tried to make it this big kind of event thing, and it came really kind of dull, because it was, oh, here we go, we're going to... have four episodes across four different shows that all kind of hang together. It just didn't make any sense, because it was so easy for them to do it. And then you start thinking, well, you know, if the Flash can just press a button and go and see Supergirl anytime he wants, why the hell doesn't he get her to help him out every week.
Every time, yeah.
You know?
And vice versa. And
yeah, exactly. And so, I you know, I've never been a big fan of some of this multiverse stuff. I think it can be overdone. And oh, certainly, yeah, this very much smells to me like Sony going, money, and in forgetting about the fact that aesthetically and story-wise, it's going to be overdone, you know. And not only that as well, it makes the whole movie process much more difficult. You've got to then, you're talking about paying big stars. You've got to fit in with their schedules and what else they're going to do. You've got to deal with their agents. The whole thing has becomes more complicated.
Marvel should just offer Sony $10 billion to own Spider-Man. Now, some people say that's a stupid amount. They will make it back with all the Spider-Man characters.
They would do, but as we'll see in some of these other stories, I think Disney is perhaps cooling on the volume of Marvel properties they're working with.
Yeah, but Spider-Man, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but that's it. Spider-Man is some of the other Spider-Verse characters.
Spider-Man himself is worth $10 billion.
Yeah, but they can do Spider-Man anyway.
No, but that's eventually going to end. Sony's going to keep doing this kind of crap and dilute the character. Marvel just needs to, and by extension Disney, just needs to buy it out.
I think a cheaper option is every time the MCU does a Spider-Man movie, they put some lines and action in that basically shows that whatever Sony be doing is most definitely not in universe and is garbage. Mm. You know, kind of do some fourth wall stuff.
Let's move on. And by the way, I liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. It wasn't his fault those movies were bad.
No.
He's a good actor. He grew up a Spider-Man fan, which I really, really liked.
Yeah, and I thought, unlike Maguire, he really kind of captured that idea of, you know, somebody who's still a bit of a kid.
Yep.
Suddenly getting superpowers.
Well, he was too old for the role for where they started it, but that's okay.
Yeah, but he played it like he was a kid.
Yes.
You know, he's just coming out. Well,
what do you think about the rumors of Garfield being in the Deadpool Wolverine movie as Spider-Man?
Well,
if that happened, would you be like, oh, Jesus? Or would you be like, oh, that's kind of cool?
I think if you're doing Deadpool and Wolverine, you don't need to bring Spider-Man into it.
I think you're going to see a lot of characters. I think this Deadpool movie is kind of rebooting all that shit.
Well, yeah, maybe it's, you know, it's going to do it in that irreverent way where basically Deadpool says, oh, look, you know, we managed to get this character in. Because you know that. You know he's going to provide commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's Marvel genius. Jesus.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. I didn't know this movie was coming. And I watched the trailer, and I know you have now as well. There's a new animated movie called The Wild Robot coming out. And man, this looks good. This is giving me Iron Giant vibes.
Big yeah, time. this is the Iron Giant from the robot's perspective is what I saw this as. But, you know, the trailer's extremely well done. They've done that thing where they found a kick-ass piece of music and then really tweaked it to fit the aesthetic of the thing. It's very clear from this trailer that it's been very carefully edited, not to give the story away.
Which is good. That's how you're supposed to do trailers. These trailers give all the shit away. I hate that so much.
Having said that, I think we know what this story will be. It's robot washes up on an island. Robot learns to love the animals. Then some humans are going to come along and threaten the animals, and robots going to fight back.
That's okay.
We know, yeah, but that's okay. This is done by, and it's very prominently put in there, and it has the same kind of feel to it. The people who did How to Train Your Dragon, it does have that very kind of sweeping wild feel to it. You know, that kind of epic scale.
Yeah,
it looks pretty good. You know, sometimes things turn out not so good after you've seen a great trailer. It's a great trailer. I definitely got to hand it to them for that. You know, and it does have a very sweet aesthetic to it. What's interesting is that a famous actress who's from Black Panther and from Star Wars, Lupita Nyong'o, is playing the robot. So presumably we don't hear the robot speak in this trailer, and yet presumably the robot will speak, otherwise why would you have a famous actress? She's not going to be just doing motion cap.
Yeah, no, so, probably not.
I'm interested to see how different the movie is from the actual trailer. The trailer's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of make you feel excited to see the movie, which is what a good trailer should do.
Another trailer that it seems like some people hate it, some people love it. Nothing new there, but it made me very excited, and that's the Acolyte.
Mm.
New Star Wars show coming out. Which there's rumors that they've already canceled season two, which doesn't bode well, but that's just rumors. But the trailer, like all Star Wars trailers, honestly, this looks really good. And it takes place many, many years before any of the Skywalker stuff, the Jedi Order's there. Yeah,
well, some of the press I've read are a bit confused about. Some of them have said it's about 100 years before the Skywalker stuff, which to me is less impressive than it's of 1,000 years before. I thought it would be 1,000 years. I thought it would be, like, literally long before the... long in the middle of the High Republic, which is what it's meant to be. Well, I don't know. The thing is you could say 100 years ago. It's like, you know, bearing in mind the depth the Jedi descended to before they were wiped out, you could say that maybe 100 years before already the rot had already set in, but maybe that's part of what this story is going to be about. This is kind of a Jedi murder mystery.
Yep.
That's the idea behind it. And so it is a little bit different. Having said that, it's still Jedi. I do really feel that Star Wars could do with moving away from the Jedi for a while.
They have.
More, put it this way. In terms of it allegedly being cancelled already, that may not be to do with the quality of the show. It could well be to do with the fact that the guy in charge of Disney nowadays hates TV. And,
yeah, but if this does bang numbers, you know, and it's really good, they'll do a season two.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. The only other thing that worries me slightly about this, and I'm starting to notice it more now in other movies I'm watching, is obviously the Disney Star Wars people are very big on that kind of LED space that they invented for The Mandalorian. And it's getting to the point now where you can see it, and it does tend to be used for these things where it's set in big futuristic cities, because it's a lot easier to do them there. But now you notice the scale of the space they're acting in is smaller, and sometimes you can even see the lighting effects, the way the LED does it. It's starting to jump out at me now. And I remember when we watched Obi-Wan.
Hey, you want to pause and tell those kids to get off your lawn real quick?
Which kids are those?
I don't know. That's what you're doing, sounding like.
I'm an old guy. I remember, you remember that we didn't like some of the CGI scenes in Obi-Wan, and this is going to be very, very CGI and LED space heavy, and I wonder if that's going to affect the quality of the show.
Yeah, we'll find out. I tell you what I'm not excited about, and you know, the funny thing is you don't remember, but we talked about The Crow not too long ago.
I remember us talking about The Crow. I just don't remember anybody saying there was a new version coming.
I think I said that they had been working on one, and it turns out it's done. They have a trailer. And, you know, there was a certain vibe about that Crow movie. When it came out, it felt very relevant. It was very unique. It was based on a comic, and they did a really good job of capturing it. Plus, the star died while filming the movie. So, it kind of has a special place for some people. Not so much me, but... excuse me. And this one feels like a B-movie. When I watched the trailer, I got done, and I was like, why? Why are they trying to reboot this franchise and this is what they're offering? It feels lame.
Well, it just comes across. You watch it, and you just think, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
What are they bringing to that story that wasn't in the original movie? And in fact, everything from the trailer makes it look worse. I it's a long time since I've seen The Crow, but I seem to recall that part of what made it good was because it was Brandon Lee, who was the son of Bruce Lee and was a good martial artist on his own.
Yep.
And I seem to remember that a lot of the fight scenes in The Crow were martial artist scenes. They weren't shooting scenes. There was a lot of shooting in it as well, but it was mixed with martial arts. With this trailer, it just looks like, Well, you know, he's been turned into the crow. Yeah, he's been turned into the crow, which has made him invulnerable. So he doesn't bother fighting anybody, you know, who's got guns or anything. He just lets them shoot him or whatever. And then he gets up and then he kicks her ass.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, what's the point of that? Because that works the first time. And and it's a bit of a trope in every movie now, when the superhero gets shot and the villain thinks he's killed him or beaten him, and then the guy gets up and does the business. But you see that 5 or 6 times just in the trailer.
Yeah.
And you're just looking at you. Well, yeah, you just think, well, so this looks really boring because, yep. Yes, it's like John Wick, except he gets shot a lot and he doesn't die. I mean, to be fair, that happens in John Wick 4. He got shot a lot and he didn't die. But
actually, he does.
No, I'm talking. Well, he gets shot. He's shot during the movie. It only sticks to the sticks at the end.
Yeah.
It only sticks when
the end.
Yeah, it only sticks when the plot demands it.
Yeah.
And even then, they kind of left it open that maybe John was not dead, but faked his death to get away from his terrible past. Anyway, what we digress. This just kind of looks pointless.
Yep.
I just don't. Yeah, especially it's gonna hit
theaters,
you know,
and then 2 weeks later it'll be on video on demand, and nobody will be talking about it, and it will likely die a well-deserved quick death.
Not only that, you know. The guy they've got, Bill Skarsgård playing the crow, is very much rocking a, what's his name? The guy who was the Joker in the Suicide Squad vibe.
You know, he does. I get that.
And it's just like, okay, well, again, that's something we've seen before. And there just really doesn't appear to be anything kind of particularly fresh or new in this. And,
no.
You know, which is perhaps a tall ask for a remake of a movie that was made, 30 years ago? But
and that was steeped in that, whatever it was back then. Yeah. Did you watch, and this one I was like, yeah, I was a little, I didn't really care about it until I watched the trailer. The Penguin. It's an HBO Max series. It's part of the new Batman stuff, which is not at all confusing now that they're rebooting the DCU.
It's already confusing. Because I think when they made the Batman, which, by the way, was...
It was okay.
I've got to say, I really enjoyed it.
I just thought it was okay.
Well,
I don't buy that guy as Batman. I feel like he could start crying at any time.
I understand that, but I thought the take of doing a Batman detective story was kind of interesting.
Oh, I like that.
I like that. I like the fact that it was a kind of a Batman Year One type thing as well, where he's not particularly experienced. He doesn't really understand the impact of what he's doing. And what I really liked about that was some of the supporting characters, including Colin Farrell as the Penguin, who I felt in the movie was kind of underused. So I'm pleased he's getting a TV show.
He was one of the bright spots of that Batman movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, I want to see more of that guy, and here it is.
Yeah, and the question is what type of show is this going to be?
Is this going to be?
This is the question. Is it going to be The Sopranos? Because I kind of hope it isn't, because we've seen that. You know, we've also seen in the Gotham TV series a kind of a rise of the Penguin as he claws his way up type of thing, which was actually done pretty well in that show. So I'm interested to see what they're bringing to this. And if it's just going to... What I don't want it to be is The Sopranos. I don't want it just to be a generic gangster drama, only the guy who heads up the family happens to be the Penguin. I really want to see more than that. And so we'll have to see how it comes out, you know.
Louis Gossett Jr. passed away this last week.
He did.
I love that actor. I really did. Everything I ever saw him in, he was simply fantastic. An officer and a gentleman. I'll be honest, though, one of the worst movies, Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle?
Yeah,
that's the one I remember him
Chappie.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I definitely remember him for.
When the kid says, "You don't care about my dad," he's getting ready to jump on an airplane. Yeah. And nobody talks to me. He's so awesome.
It was an incredibly stupid film about the idea that some kid of a pilot can...
And it was this, you know, and all can, these teenagers can, get together to get the aircrafts ready.
Exactly. They're flying F-16s everywhere, and nobody minds. Everyone apparently, because all you need to do to fly an F-16 is know how to fly one and jump in the cockpit. You don't need anybody to help you. No. You don't doesn't need fueling or arming or engineering.
Well, no, that's what the teenagers were for. They took care of that. If you remember the movie, it was bad. It's just bad.
It was bad.
He was the only bright spot in the whole movie. I mean, Louis Gossett Jr., I think he was in Roots, too.
He was in Roots.
Yeah.
And was it the Oscar he won for An Officer and a Gentleman?
Yes,
he did, yeah. Yep. And, you know, he kind of... It's become a bit of a... a caricature now. But he kind of invented that, that hard... The hard sergeant, you know, who's going to... kill you think he's going to kill you as he trains you. It's like the type of character, that kind of thing, and he really brought that, and now everybody does that, you know. Every single training scene in an army thing is going to have a sergeant barking orders and being horrible to people whether he likes them or not. He really created that kind of
he was
role.
An authentic actor.
Yeah.
That he wasn't a character actor. He was still Louis Gossett Jr. in everything he did. Don't get me wrong. But, man, he just had a charisma. When he was on screen, you were dialed in. Whatever he was doing, you were into. Because he was that kind of actor. He was just so good. So he'll be missed big time.
And also was acting until just very recently. I mean, he
never quit.
You know, he kept working. I presume not because he needed the money, but because he loved doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is, you know...
That's kind of like Clint Eastwood.
End your life doing 92. What you want, what you love.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood is 92 and still making movies.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of him. I was like, dude, you might want to quit now. but you know what? He's not doing it for the money. What's he need money for at 92?
No.
He's Clint Eastwood. No, he's doing it because he loves it.
Even though he's kind of
a dickhead now.
I was going to say, I think Clint Eastwood is doing it because it pisses people off.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
Speaking of not caring, Marvel announced that they're not developing Eternals 2, Captain Marvel 3, and any more Ant-Man movies.
Did they actually formally announce, or
no,
is this
they
just a rumor?
No, they haven't announced it, but everybody knows it.
So this is the rumor.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a rumor that makes sense. Those movies did not do well.
No.
And so it would make sense if you're going to cut movies from the roster that these are the ones they want to do. Now, interestingly, the story says that Kevin Feige is fought pretty hard for the Eternals.
And that's the one that I 100% agree with should not be made.
I know you liked it better than me, but I thought it was just terrible. I think the question is. What failed about that? Was it the performances? Was it the script? Was it the director? Or was it something else?
I think all three contributed. I think the story was bad. I think the acting was not very good. I think the direction was all over the place. The movie didn't know what it was. There was nothing redeeming about that movie, in my opinion.
But then the question mark to me is if Kevin Feige really believes in the Eternals as a brand, then perhaps he should just do it again and try and do it right and kind of, you know, forget about a lot of what happened in the first
movie.
When
you have as many characters as Marvel has and nobody cared about the first one, I don't think you waste any money on making another one.
Well, the business decision is that they now have the X-Men and the Fantastic Four back.
Exactly.
The question is, if you're going to do ensemble movies, why would you do the Eternals, which hardly anybody had heard of,
no one liked it. So
yeah, and then not do Fantastic Four or X-Men, which clearly are now going to be very much. I would imagine that what we're going to see is a focus moving away from the Avengers and moving on to the
Fantastic
X-Men
Four
and Fantastic
and X-Men,
Four.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and the Avengers will kind of gradually fade into the background because I think
until they've
been there, done that. Well, they clearly don't understand how to transition that to a new team. They've been trying it with all these different movies and bringing these different characters, and it's just not hanging together. So, I wonder if that's what the direction they're going to go.
Hmm. So I don't play my Steam Deck very often.
No. I play mine all the time.
I know.
I
don't play video games a whole lot, to be honest, but the one I do, Switch lately, because I still was playing the new Zelda game.
Right, okay. So I prefer my Steam Deck to the Switch.
I just haven't found any games that captured my attention, to be honest.
You see, this is the thing. I've been working through my collection, and I've played through a lot of games that I've never really played before and really enjoyed them. In fact, the one that's captured me recently wasn't one I was even thinking of doing more than just trying, and I've put 60, 70 hours into it now. It's called Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. And it's basically it's Deep Rock Galactic is a dwarf mining first person shooter co-op game that's been pretty popular
Deep
on Steam.
Deep Rock what?
Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Survivor.
And the idea is, and they've taken the intellectual property from that game, and they've basically turned out like a Vampire Survivors type game with it, but it's much better than Vampire Survivors. You basically play through these levels, you're mining rocks and at the same time destroying, killing all the bugs, and you've got to work through the levels to get to the big boss on level 5. But there's something about the gameplay loop in terms of how you level up, how you get new weapons, the objectives they set you that open up new weapons for later dives and stuff like that. That's really, really compelling to me. And yeah, as I said, I've put 70 hours into it, and I still pick it up nearly every other day and play for an hour or two. I really, really enjoy it. So that one's worth a go. I recommend. But what have you been thinking about playing?
Excuse me. Well, a game I played years and years ago called The Saboteur. I was trying to look it up to see when it came out. Let's see. The Saboteur.
I remember us talking about it several years ago.
Release date. December 3rd, 2009.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, EA, who owns that game, put it on Steam Deck.
Put it on Steam.
Well, they put it on Steam, right.
Yeah, previously you could buy it directly from EA, but what they've done is they put it on Steam, and it turns out it works pretty well on the Steam Deck.
It works beautifully.
Not all games do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a PS3 game, and I played this, I beat the game years and years ago, and then I replayed it again, I think at the very beginning of the pandemic, because, we were sitting at home. And so I played it again, and it had my saved files, so I just kind of reset it and played through and just had fun with it. But it was one of those games that I really, really enjoyed. Think GTA set in France during the Nazi occupation. And your job is to kill Nazis, basically. And there's a story, which is okay, but the story kind of furthers you along, lets you get some new weapons and stuff like that. It's a third-person game, very much GTA-inspired, no question.
Yeah.
But it was just really tight. The story was good enough to continue to so you can get new weapons. Sneaking up on Nazis and taking them out and blowing stuff up. I just love the game. And I think the map was laid out beautifully. The graphics were great, especially for the PS3 era. But I don't have a PS3 hooked up anymore to play it. And I've been thinking about this game, and I just happened to do a search, saw it on Steam, saw that it was working great on Steam Deck, purchased it. I don't remember how much. It was cheap.
Apparently it's really cheap, about $3.
It's worth every single penny. It is such a fun game, and I am really digging it on the Steam Deck.
So this is one of the good things. A lot of people will rag on the Steam Deck saying, oh, well, it's fine, but it came out 3 years ago and you can't play the latest games on it. They don't work well and this, that, and the other, and that's a lot of that is true, to be fair, mainly because a lot of PC ports of games that come out on Steam are really badly optimized to begin with. So if you haven't got killer hardware, even with killer hardware, you're going to struggle with some of them. But the advantage of the Steam Deck is that the stuff that came out a few years ago, and going backwards, it runs that stuff just, absolutely top rate.
And there's many good games out there.
There are. The only difficulty you can have, and I've encountered this a couple of times, is some of the older PC versions of games aren't really optimized for console controls.
Yeah.
They kind of expected to use keyboard and mouse and stuff like that. And obviously that's quite difficult on the Steam Deck because it doesn't have a keyboard and it only has a little trackpad. So those games can be a problem.
Yeah, but this was a PS3 games initially. Well, yeah, so
And also with that, I think a lot of people who are releasing stuff into Steam now are recognizing that and are adding proper control support because they know that most people who play these games now are going to want to play, even if they're on a desktop PC, they're going to want to play with the controller. Then people don't want to play with keyboard and mouse anymore. There is a really rich history of older, top-notch games.
I would suggest you get this one, David.
I'm going to. And you can play these games, and you'll pick them up for a song. You'll pick them up for a few bucks.
Yeah.
And it's hundreds of hours of gameplay, of quality gameplay.
I think I've got 30 hours into mine right now.
Yeah, I think the Saboteur was one of those games that kind of flew under the radar, but is very well regarded by many people.
Yep.
There's a lot of games like that out there, you know, and you can go back and search through, you know, sometimes I do this if I'm looking for something to play. I'll go and see what was the top game in 2008, or what was the top 20 PC games in 2008. And then you go and look for them on Steam and you go, oh, they're only $4. Brilliant.
Yes, exactly.
Stick that in the library and it's there and, you know.
Did you see Madam Web yet?
I did not.
I did.
Principally because most people say it's terrible.
I watched it.
And is it terrible?
It is so bad. This is why I say Disney should just pay $10 billion to get all their property back.
Madam Web was weird anyway, because even the people who are steeped in the comics, it's like, well, that character, you're going to make a whole movie about that character?
Yeah, nobody cared about Madam Web. She was always a strange character to begin with, and probably one of the least inspiring ones as a Spider-Man reader.
Well, she has a crap superpower.
Yeah.
Being able to see the future is a crap superpower.
It really is.
Look what happened to, Bruno in Encanto.
All the time, you don't care.
Nobody talked about Bruno. Nobody talked about Madam Web, because being able to see the future and tell people bad things are going to happen to them, that's lousy.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit, here comes Madam Web again. You know what?
Girl, just keep it to yourself.
It's such a bad movie. It's so bad. Mm. I can't even go into the reasons it's bad. There's nothing good about it.
I understand that from what I've read of the plot, that effectively Sony thought, let's do Madam Web, and then we can create three Super Spider Girls. And then we've got whole loads of new movie opportunities.
That's exactly
without having to do Spider-Man.
And it's just bad. It's just so bad.
Yeah, you know what? I don't understand. They have the rights.
It's because they don't know what to do with these characters.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is if you look at Into the Spider-Verse movies, right? What's one of the things that everybody loves about the movies? Gwen Stacy. Yep. She's a Spider Girl, so why don't they do a Gwen Stacy movie, a Spider Woman movie?
I don't understand it.
Because you think that would be a no-brainer, and then you have your own. Effectively, everybody loves a gender flip nowadays. So then you have your own independent spider superpower person, who's a girl,
who's very popular, and you've got all the Spider-Man bad guys you can work with.
Exactly,
it's a no-brainer, but they're so stupid.
Yeah.
Keep making the PS4 Sony or PS5 and games and headphones and stuff. Let somebody else make the movies.
But even with that, you look at their popular. They can use Miles Morales. They did a game of Miles Morales. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Why not do a live action version of those games?
I watched an old TV show that came out on, well, I don't want to say old. It came out on Amazon a couple years ago, and I heard that season 2 is coming now, so I thought I'd give it a shot. Have you watched Outer Range?
I have not, no.
I know it's
this is a
out.
Space Western.
Not
isn't
really.
It?
No.
No?
It's the Josh Brolin. Josh? Is that his name? Josh?
Brolin? Josh Brolin, yeah.
Yeah. He's the main character.
Thanos.
Yeah. Or Cable. He's the main character. He owns a ranch. And stuff happens and to his fam. It's more of a family thing than anything.
Right.
But there's this hole in the ground. And it's very mysterious.
I wonder if this was... Leanne watched a Norwegian show that was all about a hole in the ground in the forest and family stuff around it. I wonder if this is an adaptation.
It could be. But yeah. It's... I never watched. I think there's 8 episodes, about an hour each. And I thought, well, I'll watch the first episode to see if it gets my attention. And then I binged the whole thing. It was really good. So for those looking for a series to watch, that's going to take up, you know, maybe 8 hours of your time over the next week or two, or 3 days if you're me. Outer Range on Amazon Prime it's fantastic. It's cool. Really good. Which, when you look at the cast, you're like, well, yeah, I'm not really surprised, but it is a top-notch.
I've got to be honest. I'm looking at the cast, and I'm surprised they got all these people to do.
I know, right?
To be honest.
It's really good.
Yeah, there's some big hitters there. There's no mention on the Wikipedia page of it being adapted from somebody else, but it may well have been inspired by this Norwegian show about the Norwegian one was there was a hole in the ground that was like a portal into different times and all of this sort of thing, and it was really well done. It was, you know, one of those really intelligent Scandinavian shows.
I'll say it was probably inspired by, but it's not a remake.
Yeah, fair enough. You know what? There's a lot of these sorts of shows that are kind of knocking around and kind of
really
like
good stuff
with
that no one knows
the Saboteur
about.
Is hidden gems, yes. Because there's so much content coming out of streaming that you can't keep up with.
So there's your two hidden gems. If you're listening for video game stuff, hidden gem The Saboteur, and if you're looking for TV or / movie stuff, Outer Range. Both are well worth
another one. I'd add is there's a new one out on Disney Plus at the moment called Renegade Nell. It's a British show, yeah, it's like a combination of Highwayman and superhero.
I watched the first episode, and I can't do the second one. It was so stupid.
You didn't like it? No, so we've been really enjoying it.
It's got the Benny Hill humor shit going on, which I hate. It's just, it's so far-fetched, and the acting is not good at all.
You didn't like it? I thought.
No, it's
we've
terrible.
Been enjoying it, so.
No, it's bad.
Okay.
I wanted to watch it. I wanted to love it. It's just bad.
I disagree, but yeah. Horses so for courses,
that's,
man.
That's what people listen for.
Yeah.
When we disagree. Let's see if we can disagree on our season 2, episode 2 superhero movie bracket.
What a segue that was.
I know. We're going to start with... some of these are really difficult. Number one that we've got, our number 3 seed, but these are all randomly generated, so it doesn't really mean anything. Watchmen from 2009, yes, Zack Snyder's
Watchmen.
Zack
Snyder one, yeah.
Against Kevin Bragna? Is that how you say it?
Kenneth Branagh's.
Yes, Branagh's. Thor from 2011, which...
Yeah. Ooh, Shakespeare does the MCU.
Yeah, I tried. Thor got much better over time in the MCU, but his first two outings... As far as solo movies, I don't think we're very good.
I'd agree with you. I think Thor was
okay.
Really good. Well, it was really good at introducing the character and Asgard and Loki and all the things. I think as an establishment movie, establishing that realm, I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, but
standalone movie. It's not really great because not an awful lot happens in it.
No.
You know? It's really kind of dull.
Yeah.
Which is just that you think, how can they do that? But I think it's because, you know, Kenneth
Branagh
was...
They didn't know where to take this character.
Well, I think he was much more interested in the, you know, the machinations of the royal house of Asgard.
Exactly.
In much the same way that you know, he probably, he's a Shakespearean actor and steeped in the theatre and all that. I think he found that far more interesting than the action stuff. And so the action stuff takes a back seat. And look, there are a lot of things that the MCU, and particularly the Avengers, would not be as good as it is without this movie existing.
True.
This is where we got introduced to Phil Coulson. Phil Coulson. Like, well, he was in other movies, but this is where he started to really get into his own. This is where we got Loki. Yeah. you know, it really...
It's an important movie for the MCU, but as a standalone movie but going against Watchmen...
As a piece of entertainment, it kind of fails.
Yes.
And to be honest, it's one of those ones that if I'm flicking through the TV and I see the beginning of Thor, I'm going to think, oh, should I watch that or not? Because it's just, there's not a lot of exciting stuff happens in it. You know? So it's very, which is weird.
Hawkeye that's where his debut was.
Yeah, exactly. But for a movie that's about a whole other realm of space and time, it feels very small, which is really kind of odd, but it does. It feels really small. And, it's a hard one, that one. But
Watchmen.
It's not a great film. Well, so here's my
one of the greatest comic series of all time, 12 issues, The Watchmen from DC, is one of the best. It is an anti-superhero type of story.
Yeah.
That's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman wrote it, I believe.
For a comic book that many people said was probably unfilmable.
Yeah.
For a long time people said it wasn't unfilmable. It was unfilmable. And I think, back when they did this in 2009, kind of long miniseries of a single property wasn't as much of a thing.
Correct.
I think back then, or looking back now, we go, well, actually, perhaps The Watchmen should have been a miniseries rather than a movie. But I have to say, as a movie, even though it has some of the typical Zack Snyder crap in it, as a movie, it's a fairly faithful
adaptation
of Watchmen.
And I think that all the actors really brought their A game to this movie.
Yeah.
Rorschach is amazing.
Yeah, I bought everybody who was playing every single character. It's one of those things, again, I don't think... I mean, we had that absolutely brilliant Watchmen miniseries a couple of years back that really was a sequel.
It was directly tied to this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think they could have done that without Zack Snyder's Watchmen existing.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I think this is a better movie.
To Watchmen.
Yeah, I do too. I think Watchmen's a better movie.
I would definitely, it's hardly ever repeated, but I would definitely sit down and watch it if I came across it again today, much more so than Thor.
I think it holds up extremely well, especially with the superhero fatigue. This movie's kind of a penicillin shot for that.
Yeah.
Next one up, this is, we're not going to disagree on this one. 2002 Spider-Man, which was Tobey Maguire. This was this big Spider-Man kickoff. If you remember the controversy, they actually had to go and redo it because they show the Twin Towers in the first trailer.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yep. And then going against 2011's Green Lantern. Now, everybody likes to diss the Green Lantern movie with Deadpool himself.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Met his wife on it as well because he married Blake Lively, who played whatever her name was.
Yep.
Not Carol Danvers, the other one.
Yeah, it's basically
Carol. Oh, is it Carol Danvers?
No, it's not. Carol Danvers is...
No, I know Marvel. She's Miss Marvel. Yeah, she's Captain Marvel. Yeah, I'm sure
I thought this Green Lantern movie was better than most people seem to give it credit for. I thought they did a pretty fantastic job, honestly.
I think the property is really hard to do because anytime you take the sort of things that Green Lantern does in the comics, that Hal Jordan does in the comics with the big green fists and all of that, and you try and do that in pseudo-realistic life with CGI, I think you're going to struggle. And I think this is where this movie fell down.
The best, yes and no. Everything leading up to him getting the ring is pretty decent.
Yeah.
The best part of the movie is when he goes to Oa. And he learns to be a Green Lantern. That should have been the movie right there.
And I think the guy they got to play Sinestro was Mark Strong, who's a great actor.
He is.
Was fantastic.
He was great
as Sinestro.
Yep.
He really was. He was exactly how I would imagine a live action Sinestro to be.
Because
he really brought that.
He
absolutely nailed it in terms of, supreme for confidence, bordering on arrogance. An ability to recognize and respect, because he comes to respect Hal Jordan at the end, and yet you also realize that this guy's got issues and things are going on behind the scenes that he's not letting on.
Imagine if this was part of DCU's whole thing, right? They actually moved forward, and the Justice League movie was against Sinestro, but you never see Green Lantern. It's Sinestro. Yeah. He would have been a way better bad guy against the Justice League.
Absolutely, yeah. And the whole Yellow Lantern Corps thing would have been brilliant
But they don't even talk about the Green Lantern Corps. They don't come in this movie at all.
You don't even know they exist.
Right.
Yeah. And then...
Well, they could have set up another movie that Green Lantern shows up. Yeah. And the Justice League thinks, well, shit, we just beat this guy with the yellow paint. And here's a green one. We got to kick his ass. And they go out to fight him, and that's the end of the movie. You're like, oh, shit, I want to see the next one. That would have been great.
So I think the failure of Green Lantern, I think, firstly, it has a slightly uneven tone.
Yes.
Because Ryan Reynolds is doing his, you know, hey, I'm kind of faking my way through this shtick. And it doesn't really stick. It doesn't land. He doesn't land it quite as well with Hal Jordan as he later on does with Deadpool. And some of the other characters he's played. And then I think the other thing is that they should not have had Parallax as the villain in the first Green Lantern movie.
No.
Because Parallax is meant to be, it's the thing that the whole Green Lantern Corps are terrified of because it knows their weakness. And instead he just kind of infects the guy and makes him look all weird.
It would have been way better if they'd have done the Invincible type of storyline in that. Sinestro goes back to Earth after Hal Jordan is released, and he goes back to protect his sector. And he's like, no, you're doing it wrong. These people need to respect you. You're the law.
Yeah.
You're the one that has to... And then it's against those two. That would have been a way better movie.
Yeah, but I think the problem is Parallax is like the big, big bad of Green Lantern, and they kind of massively undercooked it and ruined it.
Well, it's a big cloud. I mean, it was this. It was bad. The whole third act of this movie is terrible.
It just wasn't great at all.
But what can we say about Spider-Man? The first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is a classic. It's really good, and it does hold up.
It's almost the perfect superhero movie.
It is.
You know, great villain, great performances.
Yes.
You know, stuff that has... I mean, everybody's still... even now, the before this movie, nobody knew the whole great power brings great responsibility thing. And it's become a meme. Yeah, everybody knows it. And it's because of this movie, because nobody remembered it from the comics before that.
Well, the comic book readers did, because it was...
Yeah, I know, but I want to talk about it became...
Culturally relevant.
It entered cultural consciousness. And I think, really, this was the first... I mean... We talked about Batman and that sort of thing before, but I remember watching Spider-Man with my wife, and after it finished, I just turned to her and said, that's how you do a superhero movie.
Yep.
I mean, it was just about perfect.
Yes, agreed.
You know, it went very wrong later on.
In the third movie. The second movie good too.
Yeah. But
so we're giving this to Spider-Man.
Sony's thing. But I think we have to give this Spider-Man. It is... it is very much
now the next
bigger than
one
Green Lantern.
Is going to be hard for me.
Hellboy
from 2004, which I really liked. I thought that was a really brilliant movie. I really did.
Yep.
But it's going against a comedy, Mystery Men, which
one of the most underrated movies I think I've ever seen.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's. It's a sad state of affairs that more people have not watched Mystery Men.
Yeah,
it is.
I've been epically pissed at them ever since. They never did anything more with it. To be honest,
well, because it was a failure in the theaters. It really only found its thing on DVD afterwards.
Yeah, but it did, and nowadays DVD sales can bring a franchise back to life.
Well, not nowadays.
This was because Mystery Men is it's poking fun at superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. While at the same time making, you know, that it's got one of those, you know, loser troops who come together and overcome storylines.
See, I've always thought Ben Stiller, I've never been a big fan of Ben Stiller, but he was almost perfect in this movie for the role that he plays. Well, because he's the one that takes it super serious at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and the whole point is that all of these guys, basically, this is a world where there are real superheroes, and all these guys have crap powers. Yeah. And we have, was he called? Is one of the, I never liked Fargo, but that guy from Fargo who played the guy with the shovel.
William Macy.
Brilliant shoveler.
He's so Captain really America. Really good with a shovel. Yeah, he's Captain America. He's the shoveler.
And he's, the bowler, he's got the wife. Yeah, the wife. His wife. She says, "Baby, you know, I've never met anyone who's as good with a shovel as you." No, she like pumps him up to tell him, you know,
she does.
You when it comes with a shovel, you know,
Jeannie Garofalo, who
was kind of at the top of her game.
She's the bowler. She has a bowling ball that's her dad's skull,
and it talks to her.
It talks
and
to
it
her.
Has and it has powers.
Greg Kinnear is Captain Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good. Hank Azaria, I forgot he was a Blue Raja.
Yeah,
this movie is so good. I gotta watch.
Yeah,
it
and
again.
the Blue Raja trains them, and basically all of his catchphrases are kind of trope stuff where he said he takes something they've said and he reverses it and he even points this out in the movie and yeah he's still the leader the guy, which one is Hank Azaria the one with the cutlery?
Yes,
yeah, he's really good at cutlery. And then when they have the invisible boy who's only invisible when nobody's looking at him.
Yes,
yeah. And then the guy who pulled my finger.
The whole thing is so good.
It's and the point is, it all sounds completely ridiculous, and it is ridiculous, and yet they turn it into like a really inspiring superhero movie, you know. And it was really good.
So Mystery Men moving forward is what I think we both are saying here.
So we haven't talked about Hellboy. I love Hellboy. I love the Hellboy character.
I do too.
There was something that was just a little bit off about Hellboy.
I agree. I liked it a lot, but it didn't feel like they. I felt like they were doing. They took inspiration from the comics, but they didn't really do the comics.
They didn't capture it, and I think the fact that Hellboy has been readapted and rebooted a couple of times since then tells you that they haven't quite got it right. Whereas actually, I think Mystery Men is standalone because they never did any more. But as a standalone piece of superhero movies is one of those brilliant movies. I think it should move forward. Yeah.
Yep. Last, excuse me. This one also is a little bit difficult. Wanted from 2008. Do you remember this movie?
I do. Yeah. James McAvoy and Angelina Jolie. And this is about the super secret society of people who have the power to
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman make bullets go around corners. They have like old Uber John Wick gun fu powers.
Yes.
Which
sounds stupid.
It sounds stupid, but actually, I have to say, I love this movie.
I thought
it was really well done.
The beginning of this movie is so well done. James McAvoy doesn't know his dad was one of these guys. He doesn't know that he has this power, and Angelina Jolie is the one that kind of recruits him into this and trains him up. Yeah. Chris Pratt was even in this. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. All right. It's one of those movies that you don't even realize it's a superhero genre.
No, I didn't know it was a comic book movie before I saw it.
Yeah. Most people didn't.
And I have to say, bearing in mind the subject matter, I think what really made this movie for me is the way that it's a special effects made. What they were talking about really real.
Yes.
In fact, I remember a few years later that Mythbusters actually tried to test whether you could curve a bullet by whipping the gun as you fired it.
Yeah.
And of course you can't.
You can't. No. But
I think this movie, so the special effects so entered the public conscious that people assumed that was just a thing you could do if you were, you know, if you had some sort of level of competence or something.
I think
people
thought it was vaguely possible.
Yeah,
it was so good. But what do you think about 300 now? Because 300, when it came out, was massive. I don't remember you remember how big in 2006 when that movie came out. I remember I went and saw it with I don't remember who now, But I saw it in IMAX.
Yeah.
And it was one of those movies when it came out, people were like, you got to see this in IMAX. And it is also our buddy, the destructor of the DCU. But it's based on the comics, which is based on a historical event, but they just take it way over the top.
Yep.
You know, the, oh, I am Sparta. I like the story about that.
It's a classic story of Greek heroism.
And it goes way over the top.
Well, that's the problem I have with it, is that this was one of the first times where Zack Snyder really turned it way up to
11. Yeah, he turned it up to 11, no question.
Yeah, and it kind of left me cold.
Gerald Butler was... this is the movie that made his career. Everything that's come after was because of his role in 300.
And it was, you know, it was filmed in that weird style that made it kind of look half like a comic. For me, it was all too much. It was too much testosterone.
It's not, a bunch of sweaty guys all the time.
Yeah,
But it has some great lines in it. It has some great action scenes in it.
I know, but Butler pulls it off well. I'm not sure it stood the test of time, to be honest.
Oh, I don't. I don't disagree. I think that if you see this now, you're like, ugh,
it's so exactly. campy
and ugly.
But having said that, I mean, hardly anybody remembers Wanted either. So,
but because especially when you're thinking about comic book movies, you don't think that's what this is, but it totally is. So I think that we got to say Wanted is definitely moving on.
I can't bring myself to move 300 on because there's no point because it just really will not go the distance.
So on the next episode, we're going to do another four of these, but it's our winners from the first bracket. It's going to be the Avengers from 2012 going against Men in Black in 1997. That's not an easy one that most people think it might be. Superman 2 from 1980 going against 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The Watchmen is going to go up against Spider-Man, which... and Mystery Men is going to go against Wanted. I think that's probably the hardest one, to be honest.
I agree.
That's going to be on the next episode of the Geeks Pub. And as a tech fan subscriber, I hope you guys enjoyed kind of a freebie. It was freebie anyways, but you know what I mean. A bonus. Let's say it's a bonus.
We won't be sending you an invoice.
We will not. You know, we hope that you guys subscribe to the Geeks Pub. It's basically the same kind of discussions that we have on TechFan.
Just about different things.
Yeah. Yes. We will be back next week, unless David's going on another cruise or something.
Not just yet.
Not just yet. So we'll be back in a week, hopefully, unless somebody gets sick again, with a TechFan. And then 2 weeks later, we'll be back here on the Geeks Pub and going through our Season 2, Episode 3 of The Bracket. David, I'll see you then.
See you then.